Anybody there? Working? Okay, great. So tonight we'll talk about Thanksgiving.
Oh, I missed that. It's the season. Sorry.
All good.
You emailed me and then I texted her a brand, but...
It's all good.
And you told me on, like, Shabbos, right? It's just not that smart.
So I love this spelling of Thanksgiving. I took it from Moshe's Tshuvas and it's terrific.
Thanksgiving.
Terrific.
It's very good.
So, just a little bit of background, as we know, in 1621, in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians apparently had a little Suda. Now, historians point out that there may not have even been turkey at this meal. There may have been venison, but for some reason we like to think that it was turkey. And in 1789, George Washington established it as a public day of Thanksgiving and prayer. What was it? It was November 26th. It happened to be a Thursday. So that was it. That's all Thanksgiving was. Now, keep in mind, it was a day of Thanksgiving to God, but not specifically anybody's God, just God in general. So then, in the middle of the 19th century, there was a woman. Her name is Sarah Joseph Hale. She was a writer and an activist. And she decided, she was very patriotic, so she decided, you know what we need? The country is falling apart. We're going to have a civil war. The civil war breaks out. We really need a holiday of Thanksgiving. So she starts petitioning President Abraham Lincoln and writing editorials every year that we should have Thanksgiving. So eventually, in 1863, President Lincoln, our very own, land of Lincoln right here, he decides that on the fourth Thursday of November, we're going to have this observance, the holiday of Thanksgiving. It's interesting that in 1939, FDR, for a brief period of time, moved Thanksgiving from the fourth Thursday of November to the third Thursday of November. And then it was moved back. Why did he do that? Any guesses?
Daylight saving or something like that?
Save money, probably.
Nope. He wanted a longer holiday shopping season. So he figures he'll extend this. So there was some backlash, so they moved it back. So that's why right now we are at the fourth Thursday of November, which is this Thursday, Habalina Latova. And it was only in 1989 that was the first, I found this online, that was the first presidential pardon of a turkey.
Oh,
that started just that recently in
1989.
Oh. Well, of being your Thanksgiving dinner, I guess. So, what I want to share with you tonight are some perspectives on how we should look at Thanksgiving as B'nai Torah, as religious people, as Orthodox sensitive Jews who put the halacha in the center of our world. So, how do we view this observance? So I know that different people in this room probably have different traditions, different customs. I'm careful to use the word minhagim, as we'll see in a minute, because that could be dangerous. But growing up, we had different years. It was not in our house. It was not a minhag kavua. There were some years where we just had pizza. I know that sounds unpatriotic, but some years on Thursday night, it was just pizza night.
What, the jerky?
No, it was just stomp. That was it. That was it. It was either before or after the Lions. So... but some years we had Thanksgiving dinners. There's a lot of discussion about this in some interesting sources. If you look, this is actually very fascinating. I got this from Rabbi Schachter. He gave this out once. He got a hold of this old service, which I believe they still have in KJ. Someone told me, his family in KJ, that they still have a Thanksgiving service. You're looking at a few pages of the original Thanksgiving service from, did you see the year? 1940. From the old Rabbi Joseph Lookstein, a blessed memory. And he wrote a Thanksgiving prayer, which you have here. I only gave you half the table of contents. He has a whole procession of colors. You have the American flag and you have the whole story. I only gave you a piece of it. And you see the Thanksgiving prayer that he writes there. So clearly, in KJ, they're very excited about Thanksgiving and they're very into the celebration and the observance of Thanksgiving. Really?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Amazing. Interesting. So that's old school. I didn't know that. So let's get started with the first perspective, which is not the perspective that is held by most of the people in our community. But if you look on page one, after the Rabbi Lokstein benediction, you'll have a letter here from Rav Huttner. Now, what's interesting, I think, especially about this letter from Rav Huttner, is that Rav Huttner, although he was European, unquestionably, I would say among European Rabbonim, and I can't say, I'm certainly not an authority on this question, but generally speaking, Rav Huttner was an extremely modern and knowledgeable and engaged person in the world. Many of the Bachrim who went to Chaim Berlin, I guess part of it is the Slabodka tradition of godless ha'adam and being a very aristocratic type of personality. So he was very knowledgeable and very worldly and very approachable. Well, he certainly was an intimidating figure, but his perspective here is quite, thank you, it's very, very strong and almost austere. So he writes a letter. We don't know, and this is something to keep in mind in general, he writes a letter here. We don't know who he's writing to. We don't know the year that he's writing. But his letter is very strong. It's extremely strongly worded. He says, he's, apparently the person who asked him this question had to do with observing Thanksgiving and the halachic propriety of observing Thanksgiving. And so apparently it was a question of, is this, I guess, an Issa D'oraisa or an Issa D'rabbanan? But look at the third line, Aval Mikevon. Third line, the second paragraph. Mikevan sheishkan lefanenu kviyas shel chagiga hachozeres midei shana b'shana. Since we have the repetition of a holiday that appears every single year, v'nichlelas ayidekach b'machzor hashana, and included in this, this is included in the schedule of the year, hari yesh b'ze inyan shel moed. It's like a moed. Whether you like it or not, if you observe Thanksgiving, you're observing it and you are engaged in a moed by just by dint of the fact that you are observing it. And he says, well, we know what happens when people try to create their own moedim. He doesn't mention him by name, but famously, Yeravam ben Nevat established the first, right? So Rav Huttner uses some really strong language here. Really strong. And he says, the Chiddush Moed Shalomi Makor Asel Shal Toro Hu Minei Chamurei Chamuros. And he says, even the Chiddush Moed Shalomi Makor Asel V'chol Zeh Haya Nachar Afilim Kviyasu Haysel Afialu Shalonu. But it would be chamur mina chamuros. Let's say you chose a random date in the Hebrew calendar. But certainly, he says, if you choose a random date to observe an English calendar, what we call, he says, lemisparam, har etzem kviyas hatarich, third to last line of the first paragraph, l'uvda hayisodis shel dot, 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 insert the word Thanksgiving that they did not publish even in Igros of the Pachad Yitzchak. Humatan kavod otzum la'avod zara. Those are them's fighting words. Hari milsa de pshiti l'chol bendaski chagigas moed akavul afitar achze yesh b'mishum avzrayu. There are hints of idolatry.
Because it's on an American
because calendar. It's on an American secular calendar. And he says that's why, you know, traditionally, I guess if you look at a... Right, I guess so. But if you look, let's say, in wedding invitations, on the Hebrew side, the wedding invitations, most people, I believe, write the Hebrew date for a wedding invitation. Some people even write, you know, let's say this year they'll write Yovel Shana L'Shichur Yushalayim, or they'll write, what is it, 1948 plus however many years we are now, what is it, 69 years? So they'll write 69 years since Hakamas HaMedina. But
really? I've never seen that.
Yeah, some people will do that. But if you
instead of writing the English year.
Yeah. But very often if you write in the Hebrew section of an invitation or in rabbinic correspondence, if you're writing for some reason the secular year, you'll write lemisparam. And even in Israel today, you can cut checks today according to the Hebrew date. Because it's a Yiddish country, it's a Jewish country, so you can write what is today, sometime in the end of Cheshvan, right? Yeah. Sometime, what's that? 21st, whatever, 20th of 21st of Cheshvan. So you could write on your check, Chaf Cheshvan, and cash it in the bank. That's the Medina we have, Baruch Hashem. But if you follow the Minyanim, so just by acknowledging that as part of your calendar is a problem. So then in the next paragraph he says, look, he says, Rav Huttner was a very, very, very sharp individual. He says, I know what I'm writing here is very controversial, so how we would formulate this for a community position is a good question, but you should just know that's my opinion. And then in the third paragraph, where it says the little bays, he says, he says, I don't know much about Thanksgiving observances. I assume he was never at the Thanksgiving Day Parade, the Macy's Day Parade, which this year is observing 90 years.
He's so negative. He's never went to the parade.
He's never gone to the parade. 90 years since the establishment, even your family was not there 90 years ago.
Close.
He says, I know one thing. This is absolutely firm. We know anything that is a chiddush that comes from fashioning itself after non-Jews, it's dangerous business. You should stay away from it. So that's one perspective. Eish lahava, against in any way observing Thanksgiving. Then you have kind of the opposite perspective, which you see on page 2.
His objection wasn't to Thanksgiving, it was to any observance.
That's true. Same thing would be for St. Patrick. Well, St. Patrick's Day. Okay, Fashtetza. But it would be also for Columbus Day, Memorial Day. Exactly.
4th of July.
Yeah. 4th of July, yes.
And presumably, you know, Yom Yerushalayim and secular Israeli, or that might not be secular.
Right. So Yom Yerushalayim. Well, Yom Ha'atzmaut also might. If you are of the so yes, definitely relates to the question of Yom HaShoah and the question of creating Yamim Chagim, Chazonish as a very and others, but Yom HaTzimut maybe Al Pidin, if you understand it as a Chiyuv to be Chogig that, so then it's not because it's what was it, the May 14th, I think it was.
No, but it's not. It's Hay. But here.
Exactly. So you run into that problem, and you have the Chiyuv potentially to observe it.
I mean, you potentially could run into Baal Tosef issues, which he's not bringing up here.
He doesn't mention it, but the...
No, because no one thinks Baal Tosef is a mitzvah, that Thanksgiving is a mitzvah from the Torah. You're not going to... It can't be Baal Thanksgiving, it can't be Baal Tosef, but Yom HaTzimut.
Right, but that goes back to the old question of the Mikra Megillah.
Right,
that's,
for sure.
But it's not... It's a different question.
Right, it's a different question. Exactly. I don't know that you could draw a conclusion from what he says. Right.
And is he talking about, when he's talking about, even if it's for yourself, like, there is this Indian of, you can make a Purim just for yourself.
Yes. Yes, but this is, so Rav Moshe will address this in the tshuva a little bit later in the packet. Nobody's making a Thanksgiving party, a Thanksgiving dinner, because they personally have a family Mesorah, at least as far as I know. You know, when were we incorporated in the Skokie, 1787 or something? It's on the sign. It tells them.
18.
Whenever it was. So I don't know how many, even the Robinsons weren't here in the 19th century. So... Yes, if you look, actually, the last page of the Chai Adam, it says something unbelievable. You know that the Chai Adam, Rav Avram Danziger, was a mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, which is pretty impressive. So he describes that in Vilna, they both lived in Vilna, there was an explosion in a gunpowder in a munitions factory in his neighborhood. And he says that many people were killed, his wife was injured, and a lot of their family members were affected by this, and there was a fire, it was a huge thing, and he says, thank God, they all survived the explosion in this gunpowder, this munitions factory. And he writes, this is in Hilchos Megillah, he writes, from then on, they observed, their family observed a Purim for their family on the anniversary of this explosion in the neighborhood that they all miraculously survived. So that's true, that even a personal individual, sometimes they have it for kehillas. A kehillah had a particular event. So anybody who lives there, and then it comes to Shalom Halacha, let's say you move there. Let's say there's the minhag of that place, that they remember such and such a thing happened in this place. So if you move there, so there's a discussion of the poskim, you may also have to observe it, because it's chumim makom she'nichnas l'sham. You have to take on the significance of that community. But here, we're not really observing Thanksgiving today, you know, as a, you know, Hakar Satov to George Washington, that they, you know, or the pilgrims in 1621, like, it's just not that. So the opposite perspective here is articulated by Rav Schechter in a piece in Nefesh HaRav, where he says, Das Rabbeinu, we quote some of the Rav, Haisa Shemutar, Rav Soloveitchik said it was permitted Lechol Basar Hodu, Turkey, the Sof November beyond Thanksgiving. And he points out, based on this, that evidently Rav Soloveitchik thought that there wasn't a problem of Mesorah, because there's a whole different controversy. Are you allowed to eat turkey? Exactly. I think he wants to point out the Talmidim of the Shalah, HaKadosh, and the descendants of the Shalah don't eat turkey. I think he once pointed out that some of them are not from. They eat pork. They eat pork, but they don't eat turkey. They got it.
Really?
They got a very strong Mesorah, the students of Shalah. Their name is Horowitz. So apparently Rav Soloveitchik did. But not only that, if you look at some of these articles that you find floating around, Rav Soloveitchik gave early shiur on Thanksgiving. Because apparently he went home in time, I guess, to have dinner, but everybody else also went home. Except, I saw somewhere, apparently there was a famous shiur on Thanksgiving in 1976, where he was stuck on a Tosfos, and the shiur lasted almost 5 hours. So he had a shamus, you know, somebody would, in the later years, somebody would keep an eye on the Rav and help him go from place to place. So apparently he slipped him a note that he had a plane to catch, and then he slipped him a second, and then the third note. Apparently, the majority of the 5 hours was spent in silence as he was working on this Tosfos. So finally, by the third note, apparently, I saw this somewhere, someone was there, said that the Rav said to the guy, he said, "We will not leave here until we figure out the shot in this Tosfos." So I don't know if he had Thanksgiving dinner that year, but it was a different time, I think. But apparently,
bicentennial year, no less.
That's right. So maybe that's why he wanted to make sure he had the Tosfos, say he would have it ready before the dinner. They should have the Tosfos all straightened out. But apparently, Rav Soloveitchik thought there was no problem to observe Thanksgiving at all. There's no problem here of Chodesh Asher Bado Milibam, etc. And now we come to the middle opinion, a complicated opinion from Moshe Feinstein. And the backdrop to this, part of this, is a very old machlokas about the nature of chukas, of the Isra of Chukas Akum. You know, there's a question, you know where this comes up, I'll give you an example. When I graduated from YU, so I don't remember what Rabbi Willig did at the graduation, but he did something, he had some role, and I saw him walk down. He was wearing the most ridiculous-looking Harry Potter outfit I had ever seen. He was walking with all the dignitaries wearing academic attire. And when my wife graduated dental school, they gave out a book for the graduation, like a booklet. And in the back, they give you the history of academic attire that dates back almost a millennium. And they have a whole Torah about this color is this, so the lawyers are green, and the dentists are lilac, and everybody has, doctors are, maybe doctors are green?
Depending,
I forget. What's the hood? In the hood, you have a color in the hood.
I gave it back.
I believe it. So, is it mutter to wear this kind of garb? Because it doesn't come from us, it comes from Oxford, it comes from Cambridge. So is that mimicking non-Jews? Is that a violation of Chukaseim Lo Selechu? So this shaila was posed to the Maharik. Maharik, one of the great meshiva from Italy. And the Maharik was asked about lab coats for physicians. Can the Jewish doctors, remember in Italy, many of the Jews were highly acculturated, well-educated, and involved in the society. So the Sforno. The Sforno was educated in a secular university. And the Bartanur also, these people, these great Gedolei Torah were also very involved and they had a lot to do with a lot of the Christian counterparts. Many of them learned medicine and philosophy. So is that permitted or is that a violation of Chukas Akum? So the Maharik gives a klal that's quoted by the Ramah and many later poskim. I think it's based on Iran and in Sanhedrin. Maharik says, he says, look, if there's a reason why they're doing it, so then imitating them is not a violation of Chukaseim Lo Selechu. If they just do it stam for nonsense, then imitating the Gentiles is an Isser D'Oraisa. If they decide one day everybody's going to get their hair cut in such a fashion, so for you to mimic the fad of the non-Jews just because it's on some fashion blog, that's an Isser D'Oraisa. That's a violation of Chukaseim Lo Selechu. But he says, wait a minute. The reason why doctors wear lab coats, there's a good reason for that. I happen to think the reason why they wear doctor's coats is because they want to intimidate the patients. Mm-hmm. They want to tell us what to do, and so we should listen to them. Imagine if you walked into the office like this. Everybody would say, no, the guy just got back from a camping trip. I'm going to listen to him. He tells me I have to wear this oxygen. That's oxygen, oxygen. But if you walk in with a lab coat and it says, you know, doctor on the thing, so it's like, oh, no. He's got the coat.
Well, it's got this thing, right? The snake is... That,
oh, that's very good. That's right. So that's what...
Why don't we ask up anyways? Why? It's just an American craziness.
Right.
There's no reason for it.
The tie, for sure. Tie, for sure. But it's the same Shiloh wearing a tie. So the answer is that you wear a lab coat because of Coven. But the Vilna Gaon did not accept this answer. He disagreed with the Rani, he disagreed with the Ma'arik. So for the Grah, academic attire is an issur d'oraisa, and then you have to ask the question: maybe suits or ties, neckties.
Ask it every
show. Awesome. These are good questions. According to the Grah, you have to have distinctively Jewish dress because otherwise it's a violation of Chukas Akum if you're wearing the fashions of the day.
We wouldn't even know what to wear.
Well, we would have our own. If you go in certain communities, they have traditional Jewish garb that they picked up from Europe.
To bullshit.
So that's the question. Where did they get it from there?
Yeah. I mean, they picked it up.
We have no Masorah clothing.
Right. So it would have to be something that it's not copying the style of the non-Jews. It's just a generic thing that people wear to be comfortable. Great. Exactly. Once it becomes accepted, then maybe it's no longer a fad. Great. So and that question, by the way, is another question that's also connected to the issue, let's say, about cross-dressing. You know, when do you say something is a specific type of dress? Who decides? Is it the general society that decides? Is it the Jewish community that decides? Is it the observant community, the firm community? Those are all good questions. So now let's come to the last of the approaches that I want to share with you tonight. And I would say this is probably one of the most interesting tshuvas of Rav Moshe. And I, of course, haven't learned so many of Rav Moshe's tshuvas. But as a meshiv, response to literature, it's a very, very interesting form of Talmud Torah. Because it's, on the one hand, very practical, and so you can learn a lot from the practical application. On the other hand, it's very limited, because the answer that the rabbi is giving is for this case and this person and this circumstance. And you can't necessarily extrapolate. And this is a tension that you have in the world of Shalos and Tshuvos Bechlal. And Shalos and Tshuvos is a big olam of limud. It's a huge chelik of Talmud Torah that's dating back over 1,000 years. And different. It's interesting, historically, different periods you'll find different expressions of tshuvos. Some periods in some places, Shalos and Tshuvos, you know, they were like the equivalent today of text messages. You know, somebody sends the Rashba a tshuva. The Rashba's tshuvas, there are thousands and thousands of tshuvas. I think over 3,500 tshuvas of the Rashba, and most of them are very short. The Note of Yehuda's tshuvas are very different. They're very lengthy. Because the Note of Yehuda, in a certain sense, he was using that as a medium for conveying a whole shtickel Torah. Mm-hmm. So how you look at a tshuva, depending on how it's written, is different. The Note of Yehuda's tshuvas and the Chasam Sofer's tshuvas are very different than much shorter tshuvas than the, you know, Radvaz, for example. Very different styles, Sephardic and Ashkenazi. But even within those, you'll have Ashkenazi tshuvas that are very short and concise, then you'll have Ashkenazi tshuvas that are very, very long. So here, Rav Moshe, first of all, doesn't give you the context of the shaila, and he doesn't tell you so much about who's asking. So it's hard to know. But then the other thing that's going to be very interesting is that Rav Moshe has, over the course of several decades, different tshuvas on the same topic. So he starts this first tshuva here on page 3. This is an Evan Ezra Chelik Beis. It's written in Tufshin Chaf Gimel, so that's 1963. So this tshuva, okay, it's an important tshuva for other reasons, because the first paragraph says, Bedvar Rikude Taruvis, mixed dancing, women who are not dressed snias, and swimming on Shabbos. We're not going to tackle any of those topics tonight. We're just going to go to the bottom where I put the arrow.
Well, we might in another week. Stay tuned.
Turkey's
going to
lead to this dancing.
I'm not saying. Ubedvar lasus eizes simcha b'mei eid shel hanachrim imu mitzad emunasam. I'm on the bottom of the page. If it's from their religion, so obviously, im bekavana. So then, mimashu yom eid aser medina. Of course, the im below kavana yesh lasu mitzad marasayin. So let's say Christmas. So as much as for some people it's just a secular day, it is a religious holiday. There's no two ways about it. It is, right? People go. They go to church, they have mass, they have, that's, it is a Christian holiday. It's not a question. So for you to observe something on that day, it's interesting what Moshe says, you should be wary about Marasayan, and therefore he says, Usudas mitzvah kemilu upinyin ha-ben yesh la-asafilu b'me eich elahem, de'in lesu b'shvil Marasayan sudam u'chuyevas, aval sudas bar mitzvah tov li'chos al yom acher. Rav Moshe says, very interesting, ideally, in his opinion, one should not make a bar mitzvah on Christmas.
What about a Hanukkah celebration?
It's also a good question.
It's a practical question.
It is a good question.
Depends if you're serving latkes.
In Achanami. Yeah, and the same thing. And the same thing. Moshe writes.
It's literally because it's on the same day.
Yes. So it's Marasayan.
Most people who see you would think it's a Christmas
party. You're having a party on December 25th. What is that?
And he says the same thing. You're making a wedding. He said. Ideally, Moshe says. Now, obviously, I happen to know a rabbinic family in this community is making a wedding on December 25th this year. It's not always possible, but Moshe's point is, it's a sensitivity that. You know, everybody's getting dressed up. They're going out. Well, what's going on over here?
You're not really supposed to push off weddings, right?
So that's a question. Pushing off weddings. I don't know. I'm not sure. And today, I think in our community, generally speaking, people are not makvid to hasten the weddings. I think in the Chassidish community, they turn it around like a couple of weeks. But I think around here, I don't think people generally are makvid on that. So he says, but a nisuin, a wedding, you should push it off. V'yom Rishon Mishalahem Shalahem. What about Mishana Shalahem? What about New Year's? V'chein Thanksgiving. Ein Lesser Medina. Why? Because he says these days are not religious days. It's interesting because I think Thanksgiving, even though we said at the beginning, even though there was that proclamation from George Washington where he said it's a day of Thanksgiving to God, it's not a Christian holiday, I was more interested when he said that New Year's, because I think New Year's does have some origins. Some Christian origins about Yeshu and Nittelnacht and a lot of Torah about that, but I think
it's also a function of the calendar.
Exactly. So Rav Moshe is saying that generally people are not observing New Year's having anything to do with Christianity, and therefore he says, conclusion: Ein les medina avo bal nefesh bali nefesh yesh lahem lahachmir. People who are more, you know, generally speaking, more stringent, so they should be machmir. Fast forward many years to the early 1980s. This is a Torah journal. I was able to print it from, I think it was from Otzar Chachma, called Am HaTorah. The first part of this has to do with going to sporting events and sports.
Skip
we skipped that part. We'll get to that a different time, maybe. Ubedvar shtatvus b'mi shemachshivim shemachshivim yom Thanksgiving, ke'ein chag lasos bosuda, hini lechura mikevan shebesifrei datam lohuskar yomze. Since in their religious life it's not significant, so and v'lo shi'ischayva besuda. What is it? Use yom zechel anshe hamedina shugam kein shama b'hamedina shebalogar lekanata. So it's a remembering the fact that 1621s the pilgrims were here. We weren't here, but we came here. So he says, four lines later. Five lines from the end of the paragraph. Vada aval vada also lekvar zel lechovel a mitzvah. Ela simchas rishus ato ba'ofen se below kfiyas chovel mitzvah yuchel gam l'shana cheres gam kin l'smach v'lasas b'suda. He says, look, I think it's usher to make it a chag, but if you decide you're going to have a Thanksgiving family dinner, so that's fine. And next year, it works out to have a Thanksgiving dinner, that's also fine. But as long as you don't make it that this is an observance that we must have. On the level of really mamash achiyuv, then Rav Moshe thinks that it's okay.
Is there some Indian about, say, using a day in order to truly be thankful to God? Because it was designated as another religion designated that as the day to do it?
So that's the thing. If it was from another religion, then you have a question. But because we mentioned just before you walked in, just a brief history, the American history, it's actually not a religious holiday. It was instituted as a national holiday by Abraham Lincoln in 1863. So it really, technically speaking, doesn't have any religious overtones. And when Lincoln instituted it, it wasn't necessarily even with the same religious overtones that George Washington had when he instituted it. When Lincoln did it, it was more of a national type of thing. So maybe, because then you might have a Marasayan problem, if that was, like to make Christmas Day a day of like Jewish introspection and thanks to God, that sounds like Maharasayan to me. But here, it's not the same. So here Rav Moshe has, go to the next page, page 5. Here Rav Moshe has, now he has earlier in this volume, he has a fascinating comment here. Because this is in Chelek Dalet in Yoredeya. So this is, I don't want to say it's controversial, but it's different in that the first 7 volumes of Igros Moshe were published by Rav Moshe himself. The 8th volume was published posthumously.
And the 9th.
And now they have a 9th. So the question of how to relate to this tshuva versus other tshuvas is an interesting question. So earlier in this volume, Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says it's usur to observe Thanksgiving.
Observe being having a dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's so interesting. So interesting. Because many of these tshuvas were written to Rabbi Mordechai Tendler, Rav Moshe's grandson. Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Tendler asked him, you contradicted yourself. It's so interesting. And Rav Moshe now acknowledges. He says, you're right. That is true. Look where he writes this. I'm in Chelek Dalet Siman Yud Beis. Because in the previous Siman, Rav Moshe had dealt with this. He had previously dealt with this earlier in Orach Chaim in Siman Chav, and then in the previous Tshuva in Yoredeya Chelek Dalet Siman Yud Aleph. So he starts in Yom Thanksgiving, Shezalo Kvar B'chodesh Ir Shanazu Kasafti Shalas Simcha V'Suda L'Chvod Yom Thanksgiving Yesh Lesor Medina. Rav Moshe says, I told you in the previous tshuva a few pages ago, it is prohibited, even though that's not Yom Eidayim, but there is an Isser of Ubechukoseim Lo Selechu. Wait a second. In the 1960s, he didn't think there was a violation of Ubechukoseim. So I don't know, Rabbi Ehrenfeld, maybe you know more about, I mean, you probably know more about this than I do. How often is that Rav Moshe sows himself in the tshuvas, and then he comes back to tell you why?
I was going to say, I've seen a handful of tshuvas from Rav Moshe where people sent him shilas on stiras in Rav Moshe. I don't know how often, but I've seen a couple.
Fascinating.
Which is interesting, because I guess he was so prolific for so long a period of time.
People can...
Meaning, but, you know, the Noda B'Yehuda's tshuvas were never made that tremendous of a round that you were going to have these types of questions, but Igros Moshe was so widely read over 30 years that people were reading it so closely, so...
Fascinating. So here's what he writes in the second paragraph. He says, look, hine masha amarata ala stira. You picked it up. There is a stira. There is a contradiction here. Le'inyan halav u'b'chukosem lo selechu. And then he quotes the Shtigl Torah from the Rama. So take a look on the bottom of this column, on the second column. So he says, "V'zei ikabah asiyas yom simcha l'maisa zu sha'achlo osam anashim avol l'medina zu ve'ira shalohaya lahem eizaz man ma." Top of the next column, "Lechov achlu tarnagole hodu." What happened? The pilgrims didn't have a lot to eat that winter, and then they had the next. They had shefa, so they ate Thanksgiving. Great. Rav Moshe says, "Shalohaya ze'inyan gadol l'siyashvus to America." Let's be honest. Rav Moshe says, "That's not like a big deal to establish America." They had a harsh winter. Okay, Rav Moshe says, guess what? Shahaya gam oz ba'amerika ma lechol arov. El shabo af oz. Hayu kamini peres gam ofus acherim. And he says, you know what? If they didn't have turkey that year, the next year somebody would have brought along a turkey. So Rav Moshe says, look, it's not such a big deal. If it's not such a big deal, then it goes back to the situation that we said, well, if you're copying the non-Jews when they just have a mishigas, that's a violation of uchukasem lo selechu. So maybe the whole Thanksgiving, Rav Moshe says, it's not really serious. And if it's not serious, then for us to do it is a violation.
So maybe in the whatever amount of time passed between the first tshuva and this tshuva, Thanksgiving in general became less serious?
Interesting. But he seems to be saying that at the origin it wasn't serious.
Right.
He's saying in the 1600s, the fact that they made a Thanksgiving, of course it was nice and they were very happy and they had Indians and they had the whole thing, but... it's not really a substantive real reason to make a holiday. So look at the bottom of the page here, the bottom of the column. V'ramazti, and I hinted, Rav Moshe says, it's fascinating. Sheyeshli adayin sofik bezeh, besofik tshuva rishon. He says, I hinted to you the fact that I wasn't so sure. V'gam be'isr ze'eno bor, v'yeshla aynod, l'chein, and therefore, b'tshuva shnia, in my second responsum, be'inyan ze, shayisa af, excuse me, his karti shal koponim ika isur lekvoze vegam af pamachas lo lechov lo mitzvah lesimchas reshus lo bechol shana v'shana lo bechol shana shelachin tap the next column me'acha shelo haya liborosh ika halav kasafti b'tshuva shnia shebehizdamnus ein lesser b'shein kamanos lechov lo mitzvah elasimchas reshus etc. And then Rav Moshe goes on to talk about the nafgamina for the analysis that he has in between the two different tshuvas. But you see how Rav Moshe is on the fence. And he himself was not sure how he wanted to view Thanksgiving. On the one hand, he sounds like he's concerned about the Isser V'chu V'seim Lo Selechu, which, although Rav Huttner didn't mention it, that's certainly the driving motivation between the lines, so to speak, in his Machmer Tshuva. And on the other hand, Rav Soloveitchik, who didn't explain, but assumed that it's a secular, non-religious holiday, and so the fact that you're having a turkey dinner is not really of any religious consequences, and that's not a violation. So you see here that Rav Moshe is on the fence, trying to figure it out. So I think, in terms of the takeaway, so first of all, you know, it's, I think, sometimes good to recalibrate ourselves, because on the one hand, yes, we were raised in this context and we appreciate the gifts that America has given us. And in a certain sense, for many of us, we take Thanksgiving for granted. But it's just an opportunity to recalibrate and make sure that we remember that as much as we are Americans, before we are Americans, we are B'nai Torah. And we need to look at everything, even the things that maybe we had taken for granted until this point. We need to always take a step back and analyze our lives in light of the halacha and the Jewish values. Now, certainly, Thanksgiving is, and the concept of Hakaras HaTov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is unquestionably a Jewish value. We just have to make sure that it's done in a halachically acceptable context. So if you're in KJ this week, they'll be all over it. And if you're in certain other communities, they probably won't be observing it, but I guess Nara Upashte, as they say.